You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow.
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello, hello.
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
Right here on Active FM, and you are listening to the soothing sounds of Session Run.
Brilliant. I could have not done it better myself. Thank
yes,
you. Seshi, from now on, you're going to introduce us. All right. So let's just practice that again. All right. 3, 2, 1.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
And you are listening to the very epic, the very amazing, the very interesting sounds of Session Run.
Hello.
Right here on Active FM.
Let's not forget that.
No, let's
welcome not. To our listener. We are mm-hmm. so glad to have you listening to us. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you right now listening to the show. I know that the title has grabbed you in. And either you've seen this movie or you haven't.
Chances are you haven't.
If you haven't seen this movie, guys, we're about to open up a can of, wow, like information. Or not even information, just, you know, one of those movies you don't expect? It's just like, okay, Ryan, we're doing this movie next. You watch and you're like, whoa, this is a Michael Bay movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that already sets up the theme. You know exactly, like, the shots,
that's
the epicness.
That's actually one of the reasons. Okay, there were two yes. reasons I watched the movie. The one reason was Michael Bay. The second reason was John Krasinski. Yep.
Yes. So she seems to be a fan of this guy now.
I am a fan of John Krasinski. So I am currently watching The Office. And if you know The Office, John Krasinski plays Jim Halpert in it. And did you know that this role was actually the first, like, action role that John Krasinski went into? So after The Office, this was basically, like, the first big action film that he went into. And even in interviews, he was like, they were like, wow, your first action film is a Michael Bay. Like, that's going from comedy straight to the top of action.
That's,
and he was like,
big.
Yeah, go big or go home. So
that's like going from just graduated out of law school to the president.
Exactly. It's not even a joke.
Sure.
So he's in this film, and those two people caught my attention, and we watched it. And this film, straight up, before we even say anything about it, you need to watch this movie. This movie is brilliant.
I put this movie I know what Sashi's going to say. I put this movie under Tenant. Under Tenant right there. Because, can I tell you something? What I loved about this film, obviously there's the gunshots, the kicking and all of that stuff and the screaming. But what I really loved about this movie, and what I would encourage anyone to go see it, and I've got friends who are quite military. They know a lot about stuff. And I was like, dude, you got to go see this film.
Yeah, no,
man.
It's brilliant.
This, it's not your average, you know, war. In fact, they actually say it's a war film. They literally rate it as that genre. But this film, it is different from any other war film. It's not just one of those films where you're like, okay, this is where the war is taking place. This is why it's taking place. This is why these two people hate each other. Fight. It's like the way that it plays out.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. You are just like,
No, it's brilliant.
Wow.
So the name of the film is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. So I know it's a weird long name. This is actually a true story. So it's based on a true story. And one of the things I really enjoyed about this film is that it reminded me of Pearl Harbor. So if you've watched Pearl Harbor, I watched it just a couple of years ago. I know it came out like years and years ago, but I actually watched it not realizing it was a Michael Bay film until the credits came up at the end. And then I was like,
what?
How did I miss that there was a Michael Bay? You're like, oh yeah, of course it was a Michael Bay film.
You know why you didn't know? Because there was one or two places where there were flares in.
Yes.
A common Michael Bay movie are the lens flares.
No, but another common thing about Michael Bay's movies is the picture is beautiful. He is able to get pictures in films he is brilliant. I remember in Pearl Harbor looking at shots and going, wow. Just the way he captures everything. And it's the same in this film. The way it's different locations, different scenarios, different timeline completely, but the picture is beautiful. So I would highly recommend you go and watch this film.
He's got this common, long, like, sort of aerial flyover
yes.
Type of shots. That's quite like you're going into the action. You know, yeah, that's another Michael Bay trait.
So the story is based on the Benghazi attack, which took place in the evening of September 11, 2012. This took place in Libya. It is where the American ambassador actually got, he was murdered. They attacked his compound and he was killed. But there is a whole lot of politics that went around it, because what they show in the film is they basically left him out there to dry. The American government just left him high and dry type of thing. There was no help. There was, the compound wasn't, the security of the compound wasn't up to scratch. And then eventually there were these 13 operatives. I think, were they CIA?
No, they were a hired security company. Not the security we know of, like, you know, BBR.
Yeah,
you
they were military, yeah.
They ex-military, most of them, yeah.
So they then went. They actually weren't supposed to go. There's different versions. So obviously everyone's playing the political game here. But they weren't actually supposed to go. But they decided, if we don't go, Americans are going to die. And so they ended up going. And it's a very, very hectic story. But according to the producer, Aaron Stoff, the diplomatic compound and CIA annex were built. So the ones in the film, they were actually built to the actual plans the original CIA compound, sorry, diplomatic compound and CIA annex. This is what he said. What we did is we had actual plans and satellite images of the original structures, and we had the guys. So we built these. We replicated both the annex and the diplomatic mission exactly to the inch.
That is cool.
Right?
That is really, really cool.
So they had the actual architectural plans, and then they... Yes, they did the things.
Something that was quite fascinating for me when I was checking the behind. Now, because this is a true story, you're like, hey, where are these heroes?
Yeah.
And they actually, was it them that wrote the book, or it was someone else?
I think they all wrote the book, yes.
So they wrote the book on the time of events and everything that had happened. And of course, looking on the internet, you just start typing the names. You start seeing interviews with these guys. And something that was fascinating for me was when Michael Bay made the movie, he had them actually with them on set. And they were directing their characters and helping. So a lot of what you see, and a lot of the conversation that they had and comments, because there's a lot of like comical comments in between and stuff like that. You can tell the relationship between the guys and stuff like that was exactly what happened.
Mm. No, I thought that was also very cool. But now, so mentioning that John Krasinski's in the film, do you know that to prepare for his role as Jack Silver, he dropped from 25% to 8% body fat?
Dropped.
So he went from having 25% body fat to 8% body fat.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that he needed to, I don't know, you know, did he need buffing?
I suppose
he would need buffing.
I suppose it was get rid of fats and make it muscle. Because obviously if you're in the military and you're out there in Libya, Libya is not a fun place to be. So, you know,
you gotta look like you can kick someone, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, do you know that the original cut of the film was 4 hours long? The original
I would love to see that.
Right?
I totally would watch that.
But the original cut was four. I remember Pearl Harbor was also very long. It was quite a... Michael Bay was making these long films before long films were a thing.
He invented the long films.
But the thing with these films is they keep you attached. It's not like, this thing is... You actually are attached to the story. And I think for him, he's actually just trying to tell the story. You know, he's trying to tell what happened and do it as... I don't know what the word is, as best as he can.
Well, when you're watching it, you can feel the intensity. That's what I liked about Michael Bay.
Yeah. Now, in a January 18th, 2016 interview, it was on a radio program, Mark Geist said that he snuck in during filming and took the place of Matt Martini, the actor portraying him. So one of the soldiers that... Obviously, so the soldiers were the actual soldiers were there on set. So what he did was he snuck and actually took the place of the actor that was portraying him. Michael Bay didn't notice until he looked at the camera. So he actually like was in the scene doing the things. I wonder if that cut, they don't say, but I wonder if that cut made it to the actual film.
I'm sure they would have, eh?
It would have been very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael Bay said that he was attracted to the project because he uses, now Michael Bay does, if you watch interviews or anything, he uses veterans in his movies a lot. Like in all of his films, he either uses them as actors or technical advisors. And he felt that he would be uniquely qualified to tell their story. And a lot of the people actually said Michael Bay has a very great respect for the military and all the veterans and all of that. So, like him telling, they said he was the best person to tell the story because he has such a high regard for them. And he almost wants to do it to honor them, like to almost give something back because they're obviously out there putting their lives on the line so that America can be safe. And just to mention, so to prepare for his role as Tyron Woods, James Badge Dale first met with the real Jack Silver. So it was a group of a whole group. There were 13 guys. They were the team. So, and one of them, I'm not going to tell you which one, but one of them, spoiler alert, actually dies at the end of the film. It was just one, or was it two?
In the film, I was still trying to count by the end. I was just guessing, but between two and three.
Yeah, somewhere there.
I think it was three because right at the end you see four bodies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So one of them that died, there was one of them that died, and the actor that was portraying him, he actually met with the real Jack Silver, which was a very close friend of his actually. And he also met with the soldier's mother, and she saw the movie, and after she saw it, she told James that he did it right. So obviously for her, that would have really meant something because her son had died, and that must have been tough for her though to go and watch that, because like you're watching what happened to your son type of thing. She must have been very proud of him because he was gangster. He really was.
Yeah, these guys are too much, eh?
They really are. Michael Bay wanted to shoot on film, but cinematographer Dion Bebe, I think that's how you pronounce his surname, wanted to shoot digitally. So Bay ultimately accepted shooting digitally because of the number of night scenes and the tight production schedule. But some of the movie did end up being shot on film, with Bay operating his personal Arriflex 235.
Yes, I saw that
camera. Michael Bay, that's the cool thing. You see it behind the scenes footage. There's Michael Bay like running around the set with his camera, just doing his thing.
Yeah, I saw that a lot in Transformers. I think that typically happens when a director's like, no, I need a shot. It must look like, you know, okay, guys, come, let's get ready. And then he's like, okay, go. And then he runs to the camera. And then he gets it. And then he's like that. I think The Hobbit.
Peter Jackson.
Yes, Peter Jackson. I've seen, you probably find a lot of directors do it, but I do find often.
Yeah. Michael Bay does it.
Yes.
Yeah. On January 7th, 2016, Academy Award winning director, William Friedkin, this director has been making films since 1962. He tweeted and actually said 13 Hours is a powerful film that raises important questions that need to be answered. Which obviously, so the whole thing is that the American government at the time, which was led by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, left the American ambassador to die. In fact, it looked like a setup. It actually looked like they intentionally moved out all of the troops and intentionally made sure that, yes. Obviously, there's politics, and a lot of the actors were actually questioned when in interviews saying, you know, like, what stand do you take? Now, the film doesn't get very political. It doesn't actually show, it doesn't leave Libya. The whole thing happens in Libya. You see them contacting America and all of that, but it doesn't actually, it just shows you what happened for those 13 hours, because literally they were under attack for 13 hours. So it doesn't get into the politics of the film. However, I was angry after watching the film. I was just like, and the scary part, I don't know if you noticed, Ryan, at the end. So they then at the end said what every soldier had gone on to do. All of them left the military. I don't know if you saw that.
There was only the one guy who got reinstated just so that the government could, so they could take care of his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only him. But I think he was more probably in an admin position.
Yeah.
I stand to be corrected. but I know one of them, he left, and then the U.S. government sort of recalled him back so that he could receive the medical attention that he needed.
But for me, that says something. The fact that all of the, do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that all of them left. Yeah. So this is Michael Bay's third drama film based on real life events after Pearl Harbor and Pain and Gain. I didn't know Pain and Gain was based on a true story.
And next week on Active FM. Right?
We shall go look at Pain and Gain. That is pretty cool. However, and for me, this is just terrible. This was Michael Bay's lowest grossing film as of 2016. I think there's like a list of brilliant movies that just haven't been seen by people. Like for me, the only reason I found this film was I was looking for something to watch on New Year's Eve and I wasn't prepared to watch a stupid movie. Yeah. So me and my family said we're going to watch something. So I went and searched. I did like intense research and like found different options, went and searched movies similar to, and then that's how I found a couple of movies, but this one was one of those movies. And that's the only way I found it. Otherwise, I don't know. I wouldn't have found it. And I'm glad I watched this film because it was a film that needed to be watched. So for me, guys, go watch it so we can get the box office up. The budget was 50 million and they only made 69.4 million.
Oh.
Yeah.
This should have like quadrupled.
I know, right? This film is a good film. I suppose though it proves that box office doesn't necessarily mean the movie's good.
No, definitely not.
It just means the crowd thought just it means, needed to be watched.
Just means not many people paid for this film.
Exactly. Now, Michael Bay's hair was burnt while filming an action scene sequence in Malta.
Yeah.
So the filming took place in Malta, which is actually very close to Libya. And, his hair was shame burnt. Well, but they literally, I don't know if you saw behind the scenes, there was just fire, like, everywhere. Like, and obviously Michael Bay does it for real. And one of the things John Krasinski said is very nice about that is it actually gets your adrenaline pumping and puts you in the scene. And it actually helps the actor act better because there's fire there.
Can you imagine what it must be like? All right, fire. All right. And action. I'm scared. Okay, cut.
Wait.
I thought we spoke about this.
Wow. So John Krasinski, I said he was in The Office. And there was another, Ryan, did you see? There was another actor that was in The Office as well in this film.
You know, I saw faces. There was something that I battled with, and that is that all the guys had beards, like these thick
right,
beards.
So they all looked similar.
So I'm like, that guy looks familiar. That guy looks familiar. Even that guy looks familiar. Who is that? Who was it?
So the other person is a man named David Denman, and he, in The Office, played Roy, Pam's ex-boyfriend. So you know she was originally engaged to Roy, and then... Yeah, things happened and Roy lost his temper and threw beers at a
What
bar.
Is his name?
David Denman. So they had previously worked together in The Office. They played the characters Jim and Roy and they actually hated each other. In fact, Roy almost physically assaulted Jim in The Office because they both were in love with Pam. I was always on Jim's side, though.
This isn't a storyline. This is the story you're talking about. So, okay, cool. Yeah,
in real life, they're probably very good friends. In The Office, they weren't. And then obviously here, I was just like, oh, that's awesome. So
yes, they do like each other. In fact, on Sundays, they have meals at each other's families every week.
Right. Throughout the movie, the 17th of Feb is mentioned. Do you know what the 17th of Feb is?
Something tells me that on the 17th of Feb, they found this team or this
nope.
These guys committed to
nope.
helping the US.
Mm-mm.
Their birthdays,
nothing to do.
All their birthdays on the 17th of Feb.
Close.
Wait, don't tell me. 17th of Feb. Mm-hmm. Close. All their birthdays. They're all a certain age group.
Nope.
They 17th of Feb. Okay, I don't know.
It is Michael Bay's birthday on the 17th of Feb. So
why
you can
did
go
they
put
do
in your
that?
Calendar, people. Go wish Michael Bay on the 17th of Feb.
A couple of days' time.
So he had his birthday mentioned a couple of times in the film. And this was cool. Right. I have cinematographer details. Do you want to know them?
Give them.
So Michael Bay, this was his first collaboration with the cinematographer Dion, as I said, I hope I'm pronouncing your surname right, B-B-B-B, I don't know how to pronounce his surname. But he was the cinematographer for, guess what?
Tenant.
Mm-mm. Mary Poppins Returns,
what?
Edge of Tomorrow, Gemini Man, and Into the Woods. And even, I think, Chicago. I think he also did Chicago, which is crazy. I'm like, this guy had, he's brilliant. He does so many different, like, genres. But I thought that was pretty cool. So last week, we did Mary Poppins Returns. Go listen to that show. And I was like,
same cinematographer.
Cool. Same cinematographer. Yeah. And then during the rescue attempt, there is a scene where a Libyan fight introduces himself to John Krasinski's character, Jack Silver. He states, "Hello, Captain America," to John Krasinski, right? So in the movie, there's a person who says to John Krasinski, okay, "Hello, Captain America." Do you know John Krasinski auditioned to play Captain America for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the role was obviously given to Chris Evans?
Right.
But I was like, oh! Yeah, but... yeah, I just feel like...
you never know.
He would have... I think John... although, no, I was going to say he would have brought a more comical side. But if you look at John Krasinski in A Quiet Place, he didn't have a comical side. He actually is a...
very serious character.
He's not just a comedian type of actor. Obviously, he's done comedy, which he's very good at. But he's actually a very... I think him and Emily Blunt, he's married to Emily Blunt, who played Mary Poppins, also a phenomenal actor. Both of them are really, really, really good when it comes to acting. Like... They're very versatile within the roles that they can actually they play. And plus, on top of that, do you know, so all of the actors had to go for training on using guns.
That is cool.
Right? So they literally had, like, I think 3 days worth of training where they just learned how to shoot guns, different guns, how to aim at targets, et cetera, et cetera. And they actually had a competition, the ones where they could see who got, so that, you know, they set up these, like, steel, like, circle things. Like
target
targets, yes. But they're little steel. They're not the usual big targets. They're little steel circles, basically. And they had a competition to see who could get or be the most accurate. Do you know John Krasinski won? So
of course
if
he
acting
did.
Doesn't work for him, he could always become a...
security.
Yes, or a hunter.
Soldier.
Soldier.
In Benghazi.
Mm-hmm. Or he could become a paintball profession. Oh.
Yeah, if you want to play safe and not let your skills go to waste.
Paintball is the way to go. Yeah, but this film was very, very good. It is, it's one of those films where you, there's political lingo in it. So you could possibly get lost. If that happens, I would suggest you just go read up on the storyline. We had my dad with us and he's very well versed in the political. In fact, he knew what we were watching before we even watched it. I didn't know that this happened. Especially back then, I was not into.
I'm like, why didn't this hit news headlines?
It
probably did.
It did hit news headlines.
I was just.
We were just not interested.
Kicking the ball out in the backyard, yeah, or watching soccer.
It
or
was
something.
In America. We were in South Africa. We weren't really concerned. But like Hillary Clinton was drilled, rightfully so. She was drilled after this, and yeah, it was a big mess up on America's side. But he then was able to explain to us, you know, yeah. But the sets were not sets because they were actually on location, but the set design, if I can put it like that, was amazing. I loved the, you know, there was that one scene where it was right at the end when there's the shootouts that keep happening. There was those cloths hanging from those, I don't know what, like an old building or
like weren't those of a like, building. Sheep. They said slaughterhouse.
Oh,
yeah.
But that was it actually looked beautiful. The way, just that was really, really stunning. I loved.
That would have obviously been from the you know, the, what, they really were there.
No, they weren't on location.
So in other words, in the real event, those were really there,
yeah,
as well.
Yes, yeah. So they've, it actually happened in Libya. They filmed in Malta, but they did, like I said in the beginning, they did build everything to the inch according to the original designs.
That is cool.
Yeah. No, but it was a very good film. At the end of the movie, you're just like, it was an emotional ride. I don't know if you found that, Ryan, like.
I enjoyed it. I really did.
You got into it. You were with them. And then at the end, you were like, this is wrong. We need to do something.
The thing is, and this is what I enjoyed about it, was the ride that you go on with this movie. Because obviously you think war film, you're thinking on edge, people are going to die, and these guys are ex-marine, ex-military. Yeah. So trust me, they know how to handle a gun, and they do so well that you almost have a security.
Yes, you do.
You get the security. Like in the beginning, you're sort of like, and I think I wrote down, so like 45 minutes into the film, the action only starts, but you're on edge from the beginning.
No, you really are on edge.
It's not like
they're
their family. They're having a braai / barbecue, and then they get called, and then they get briefed. It's just from the beginning, you're just sitting there. You know Michael Bay, there's all these close-ups. And the way that he uses his camera angles and that, you continuously suspecting, looking around. Like, there's a specific sequence where they obviously have to basically like guard people who, if they go out of those, whatever. The compounds,
yeah.
Yes. And so when those happen, you're like, oh, someone's going to die. That's it, someone's dead. And they pick up a tail like this.
Yes.
And then and out of there, you're like, wow, okay, these guys are good. But then, literally, I think they only start really shooting like towards an hour of the film, maybe just over the hour. And then you're like, okay, I knew these guys were good.
But then they don't stop.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, I knew these guys were good. I was still scared of them. But now I see, okay, damn, these guys are really, really good.
No, they're really good, yeah.
Yeah.
And then from the point the shooting starts, it does not stop until the end of the film.
But it's good. It's not like any other film.
No.
I promise you.
It actually isn't.
It's nowhere close.
No.
That's what I enjoy about it. In other words, I'm setting you up right now. If you're going to go watch the film, I'm telling you it's good. You don't know what to expect.
You don't.
Boom.
And that's, I think, what we enjoy in movies. This film is a proper film. I feel like it's not just this one didn't, it wasn't even a money-making thing. It was a director. He found a story that he thought was worth telling. He told it. He told it brilliantly. And it's, this story needs to be seen. And for me, that's true success with a film. So even if the box office didn't quadruple or whatever, actually for me, this film, I would say this type of film is better than like an Avengers Endgame. And I'm saying that straight.
I'm with you.
Because Avengers Endgame is, it's entertainment. That's all it is. It's just entertainment. Whereas this film, it's entertainment, but there's purpose and there's meaning and there's soul behind it, which as a storyteller, that's what you're doing when you make a movie. You're telling a story. That's the aim. So,
well, a good movie is, in fact, a successful movie is a movie that has given the viewer the, like, they were there. They've given them the experience of the film.
Yeah.
And, of the story. Not, you know, the film is an experience of the event.
Yeah.
And, like, if you feel that's why I think, like, a lot of people love stories. They love romance because it moves them. And then, of course, you get the action films and it's just sort of like a, kill them!
Yeah.
Kill them! Oh, yay, we win. Oh, no, the one guy, everyone loved him, he died. Oh, shame, you know. But with this one, you in there.
No, you are.
That's what I say. Action only starts at 45 minutes from second zero all the way until 45 minutes. Like, Michael Bay is just laying down this nice, this nice ground for you. What is it? A platform.
Foundation.
A foundation.
Yes.
This nice, beautiful foundation for you. And it's not that you're bored, you're like, it's a good film.
No, it's a very really good film. Go watch it. Good. Definitely go watch it. It really, really is good.
Yes.
And don't forget that we have tons of other shows that we have done. As I said last week, we did Mary Poppins Returns. If you want to know what we thought about Mary Poppins Returns, you can go listen to it right now.
And if you haven't watched Tenant, watch Tenant and then go listen to our show on it.
Shows. We did two.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Listen, just so you know, we've never done two shows on a single movie. That's how good Tenant was.
Tenant was brilliant.
Yes.
Yes. But we also have a whole lot of good movies up still. So I watched we had a break, a vacation, a holiday, and I literally watched movies and was like, Ryan, you need to watch this. Ryan, so we have like a list of good films that you will enjoy. They're all different. Actually, it's not all the same like genre. So,
I mean, Mary Poppins, for crying out loud.
Mary Poppins was brilliant. Okay. I loved Mary Poppins.
Just in case you guys think, because that's what I thought. No, Mary Poppins was good.
It was very good.
Really was enjoyable.
So go listen to all of our shows. You can download them. And don't forget to share them. Share them with your friends.
Yes.
Share them with your family. Share them with the person you don't know. Share them with anyone.
Share them with the people you do know.
Yeah. But this has been the Movie Show right here on Actum FM, and we will be back.
Same place, same time.
Yes. With another awesome movie.
Uh-huh.
Review. Yeah. The movie might not be awesome, but our review is.
But the review will be good.
So this is us signing out. Peace out.
And cheers.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM. Instagram at ActiveFM777 and Facebook at /ActiveFM.